Acolyte is causing a stir in the Star Wars community and has huge implications for the timeline and expanding what the galaxy looks like when you remove everything we know about the universe. But will it ruin everything or shine through the darkness? And when will we see more original trilogy era projects? Welcome to Star Wars Uplink, your place for everything Star Wars gaming, the TV shows, and the movies. Let's jump in.
Just you reconsider playing that message for him.
Now that we've had a little bit of time to really soak in the revelations that the Acolyte trailer has revealed and given us, it is time to break it down a little bit more. We've gotten some more details, some interviews, some little bit of character bios on the ones that we've seen in the trailer. Still, everything seems to be a lot more mysterious, as is usual for Star Wars, really.
Yeah.
I would be surprised if they're like, hey, here's like the overarching story of this character. Also, here's the background of this character, blah, blah, blah. I would be concerned about that if that was the case.
Yeah, that's just not Star Wars as we know it today.
Not at all. Like, Star Wars, even since the beginning, was like heralded around the secrecy. The Blue Moon Harvest Project, which was a quote-unquote indie horror film, which is what I think Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back, one of the two, was actually codenamed to hide the fact that it was a Star Wars project.
Amazing.
But when we look at Star Wars and Star Wars Acolyte, I want to get your thoughts on, like, how are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling pretty good about it, actually. I think it's going to be, I don't know if it's going to be revolutionary. I don't think if it's going to be, like,
it has the potential.
It has the potential. I don't know that I'm ready to, like, put all my chips in on it yet. But I'm excited. I think they have some good things going for it. Mm. And I think they have a good story that seems to be going through it that I'm very curious about.
It's also stayed consistent through all of the interviews that Leslie Headland has done. So that gives me hope as well. It's not like, oh, we announced this one thing and now that the trailer's out, it's actually this other thing. No. As we'll get into a little bit, she still is very consistent with what the story is and the general gist of it.
Yeah.
Which I'm really excited about.
That's impressive. Mm-hmm. It's encouraging to see a story make it through all this time.
And then announce and still be saying the same things, which is good. I'm still looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a very, maybe not revolutionary, but revelatory project. It's going to show a lot of the potential that Star Wars has going forward. I think if they can pull off this, I think we're going to see more of stuff like this. I think we're going to see more of like the Dawn of the Jedi or those outside of the Skywalker saga or outside of the even known universe that we have. Outside of the Skywalker saga movies, outside of the specific timelines that we're used to. Yeah. I could totally see this being the green light for those things if it does well.
Yeah. I can see that too.
So I'm very much looking forward to, but I want to get into, there's some controversy around Star Wars Acolyte. And while I don't necessarily agree with all of it, I think there is a concern that has some validity. Maybe. That's what we're going to break down.
Hmm.
So Acolyte has a dark side focus story.
Yep.
It's more so in the realm of the underdog in this situation would be a dark side user.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the perspective that we see Star Wars take most of the time, is the underdog succeeding against the Goliath. This is going to both be exciting if done well, or if it's done poorly, could ruin everything we know about the prequel trilogy.
How so?
There's this one line, and it's just in passing, and I think it would be perfectly fine if they retconned it a little bit, but there are some ways that they can do this where it's not retconned, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. But the controversy here is around the line that they haven't seen a Sith. I thought they were extinct. I thought they have been wiped out for millennia.
Impossible. The Sith have been extinct for a millennium.
I want to talk about this and how they could justify the introduction of another Sith and how it could really play into the story to enforce what we know of in the prequel trilogy.
Okay.
So, first off, I have a quote from Leslie Headland in an interview that went up alongside the Acolyte trailer. And I think this is going to clear up a lot of things when we get deeper into our discussions on our actual thoughts with it. And she says this: if Star Wars is about the underdog versus the institution, in The Acolyte, the Jedi are the institution. I was so interested in a storyline where the Jedi were at the height of their power, and I don't mean the Phantom Menace, because at that point there's a Sith Lord in the Senate that they're not picking up on. And I think that right there, she mentions the Phantom Menace, she mentions the introduction of a Sith that's pulling the strings behind everything. She is very much aware of the situation with when it comes to the Sith and the perception in the Phantom Menace prequel era.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is multiple ways that we can look at this, but I want to start with the clearest one, which is also the foggiest. What if she's a Sith?
Mm. Okay.
How does that work?
Yeah. Honestly, my take on this would be that the Jedi, it could just be like an outlier moment where it's like, it's just, it's not a big thing. Like, it's not, to have the name Sith has a connotation that there are more.
Yeah.
And that there
always are. Always two there are, never more, never less.
Yeah, but there could be, well, the name Sith is more of like an institution like the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that she is a Sith is kind of like...
But for the sake of argument, because yeah. We'll get into the specifics okay. On what we actually think, but for this argument, what if she is a Sith?
Okay.
And I think it would be... This is 100 years before The Phantom Menace takes place. Mm-hmm. I think if there is an opportunity for a Sith to be there, it's perfectly fine because they'll have enough time for it to be forgotten by the time that that specific line is said in the prequel trilogy. But she has another quote here that I think is going to clear up this even more as we talk about our next piece here. But she says, I was so interested in the storyline where the Jedi were at the height of their power. And then she goes on to say that she wanted to explore further back when a Sith seemed as likely as encountering a Velociraptor. Like, it's a thing I've heard of, but it's not a thing that you would ever consider interacting with. That is the key piece here.
Hmm.
That even if she is a Sith,
mm-hmm.
they wouldn't believe she's a Sith.
Yeah.
Sith are, at this point in time, extinct and rare. And no one necessarily at this point, they're hidden well enough that they wouldn't even be considered. It would be more like Balin, where Balin is a dark Jedi.
Mm.
And that leads perfectly into this idea that I think right. is going to be more accurate, is that she is the little Jedi Padawan that we see in the beginning of the trailer.
Yeah.
I think that's our main character. And she somehow, some way, through that vision or whatever, gets disqualified from the Jedi Order. Maybe. I don't know if that works. I don't know how that's going to work. Maybe she goes through it and then leaves further along in her Padawanship or whatever. But I think we're going to see this moment where she is this character that has been brought up, at least with some semblance of the Jedi as a structure, but decides to go the other way. Decides that she knows better than this institution, really.
Hmm.
Maybe she's wronged by that institution. Maybe it is the Jedi Master that felt like he was doing the best he could, but in that action, failed that character.
Yeah.
That's my theory on it.
That would be a very strong Star Wars.
Yes.
Star Wars theme that we've been seeing lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely would agree that it does seem like, especially with her saying it would be so rare to see a Sith.
Yeah.
That, yeah, even if she was in the timeline equivalent of like what we would think of a Sith.
Yeah.
Even if she was considered to be that at this time, it wouldn't really be a thing because it's just not seen. It's just not heard. It's just not, it's not a thing.
Mm-hmm. And this is also the Jedi at the height or near the height of their power, and also near or at the height of their hubris in terms of like they feel so strongly that they eradicated the Sith,
mm-hmm.
that there's no possible way for there to be a quote-unquote real Sith anymore.
Yeah.
So I think that lends credence to the fact that like she actually isn't a Sith.
Yeah.
And is more accurately a fallen dark Jedi.
Jedi.
or a dark side user might be the more accurate way to kind of describe that.
Yeah. And with the Jedi being at the height of their hubris, they're definitely going to be sweeping this story under the rug.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no one needs to know about this.
Definitely. I think whatever is going to happen with a specific part of the Jedi Order is going to stay with that specific part of the Jedi Order.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's going to make it to the council members. Maybe. I might be wrong here, but we don't know the specifics, but it could just be this self-contained thing to where it is just the Jedi Masters. And more than likely, there's going to be a through line in terms of like which Jedi Masters are getting attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to remember here, the whole premise of this show is that Jedi Masters are being murdered one by one.
Yeah.
Serial killer style.
Yeah.
And this group of Jedi that are made up of quite a few different beliefs in the Jedi Order. I know one of the bios is this one Jedi wants to play everything by the book.
Mm.
Others might be a little bit more loose with that. Some might have left already in terms of the Master's viewpoints, depending on where she is.
Okay.
Because Matrix Lady is on that weird planet and
right.
seems pretty separate from everything.
Uh-huh.
So it could be that she just isn't involved in that anymore.
Right.
So I think we're going to see a whole gradient in the realm of Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to see different sub-beliefs in the umbrella of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. And we're getting a Jedi Order that is kind of the villain.
Mm-hmm.
So anything goes. We could be seeing a whole lot of like tampering with information.
It is possible.
To put on a good face mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, we could be seeing a lot of our good Jedi fall a little.
or just trying to keep their facade
mm-hmm.
of holier than thou kind of mm-hmm. thing. I think it's going to be interesting to see this viewpoint of the Jedi as the bad guy. Because if you look at it from a certain point of view, can be construed in the other way as well.
Mm.
Yes, Darth Vader did, quote unquote, or Anakin Skywalker died and Darth Vader rode to his place, blah, 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 whatever. We're not getting to the two Anakin's theory anymore. But there's this idea of like, if you look at it, the rebellion are terrorists.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the origin that George Lucas wanted to talk about with the Viet Cong and the Vietnam War. And this whole very political like subtext to the whole original trilogy. Now taking that a little bit, a step further and to the left a little bit, We're seeing this different view of the Jedi in this new realm. What does it look like for someone to be failed by the Jedi Order before Anakin is ever failed by the Jedi Order?
True.
Because the whole origin of the Star Wars galaxy and Star Wars story is because of the Jedi Order
mm-hmm.
and their ego.
Yeah.
So now we're seeing like the precursor to that. What does it look like for the Jedi Order to fail in these ways the first time? Mm-hmm. And in that interview, she says, it kind of encompasses this one line. It says, with a darker tone focusing on the duality that exists beyond the simplistic black and white view of good versus evil, the Acolyte asks a key question before the fall of the Jedi. What went wrong? And if the bad guys are actually the underdog, it just seems like a cool reversal.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see where we have the Bad Batch trying to explain the one line of like somehow Palpatine returned. The Acolyte is going in and trying to explain how the Jedi got to where they are when Anakin rises and then destroys the whole Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Or more so, Palpatine rises and destroys the whole Jedi Order. But that's the question that they're trying to answer here of like, what does it look like for the Jedi at the height of their power, what decisions do they have to make 400 years later for them to completely get destroyed?
It's a really interesting take because although we all know what it is, it's like, it's just going to be really interesting for them to actually put this on screen.
Yeah,
to show that our perfect little Jedi people weren't always that great.
Uh-huh.
I'm here for it. I'm ready to see some flaws and some character growth through that mm-hmm. and maybe some character not growth.
Destruction.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot when we look at what this show can do with its time frame and with its with the barriers that the rest of like the Star Wars eras have in terms of like this must be done and you have to tie it up by this point. Mm-hmm. They have 100 years to play around with. They don't have to worry about like tying in these characters or doing these things because those characters mostly aren't born yet.
True.
They don't exist at this point. There are a few exceptions because I think Chewbacca and Yoda for sure would be alive. Mm-hmm. Hu Yang would be alive.
Yep.
So there's a lot of these characters that could be there, but I don't necessarily think we're going to see a whole lot of them. Leslie Headland has become a very big High Republic fan, but is also a big fan of Star Wars in general and intends to bring a lot of characters from the Legends content.
Ooh.
And races and a specific alien species that hasn't been revealed yet from Legends content. So she's definitely a fan and is a hardcore fan and is implementing a lot of the key pieces of that Legends content alive.
Ooh.
So there's a lot going on there that I think is going to be really interesting to look at when we look at the variety of stories told in this specific era. We do have confirmation from Leslie Headland herself that she has saved stuff for season two.
Ho-ho.
So I definitely think we're going to see a continuing series in this era. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got that era, of course. An era that we haven't seen a whole lot in recently, besides the video games, really, is the original trilogy era. Mm. So between A New Hope and The Empire Strikes Back, there's about a 3-year period to play around with. The whole original trilogy takes place over the course of about 4 years. I want to ask the question of, like, will we ever see any more original trilogy content stuff? And I'm not talking about, like, even just filling the gaps to see what Luke and everybody's up to. I would just like to see some more stuff around that time frame.
Yeah.
Could be entirely new characters, entirely new planet, that kind of stuff. But in that time frame, I think is really unique when we look at Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting thought. It's funny because I don't ever think about just that amount of time.
Yeah.
That is considerable considering we only got 3 movies, really.
Yeah, 4 years and
yep.
3 movies.
Yeah. I mean, with Rogue One, it's kind of before
it. Leads
it.
Up to it. Like, okay. It directly leads up to it. So yeah. On that note, yeah, like Solo kind of, Rogue One for sure. But I'm just like specifically thinking of that, like, maybe like 5 to 8 year time period around that era where Luke, Han, Leia, Lando, everybody is doing things before or after the fall of the Empire. I think there's a lot of opportunity for stories to be told that would be separate from the Mandoverse. Mm-hmm. Because the Mandoverse is taking place, I think, 5 years after the Return of the Jedi. So they kind of are taking that side of things, but it's much more like sequel era in flavor,
yeah,
rather than that like original trilogy, like grittiness, everything's dirty, everything's like
right.
worn and falling apart. Part of the New Republic's efforts is building new,
mm-hmm.
which is what we ultimately see in like the Force Awakens era. Like there are some older stuff, but a lot of it is new, inspired by the past.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of opportunity for stuff like this to be had in that era, especially considering we haven't really seen a whole lot. The Battlefront 2 campaign takes place after the Return of the Jedi's end, the fall of the second Death Star, picks up right after that and then leads up to close to The Force Awakens. It has explaining pieces there.
Yeah.
The first Battlefront is set during that time frame, but it doesn't have any story pieces, so it's not really like applicable. And the Jedi series takes place in between the eras of like Order 66 and the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this gap, and it's pretty much just A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi that fill in that gap there.
I could see the hesitation on messing with anything in this
there's
timeline.
There's some key comparisons very closely on what they could do and how accurate they would have to be.
Yeah, yeah. It would be very touchy, I think, for anyone who wanted to add a story into that time frame, because everyone's going to be watching real closely for anything that goes wrong. No one can touch the original.
That person's wearing black shoes, and then the original trilogy, they had dark gray shoes. Ah!
Yeah, it could get that tedious. But I do actually think that there is a space for it.
Mm-hmm.
Something more like Andor, where we get more of a citizen perspective of what these rebellions and things that, like, all these different wars and what that would actually, like, affect, how that would affect. And, like, what Leia is saying, the more you tighten your grip, the more it slips through your fingers.
The more star systems slip through.
I mean, there's still stories in there to be told.
Oh, yeah.
Of what that looks like, of how the Empire was gripping tighter and also losing all of their power.
Yeah. I think it would be cool to see something around that time period that shows the unrest of the galaxy, like you're saying, where we have the Empire tightening its grip, and then we see the, not even the beginnings, because Andor's diving into the beginnings of the rebellion, but like, what are the next steps for the rebellion to take to where they ultimately get a force big enough and a mission strong enough internally for them to take on the Empire, for them to make the plan to destroy the Death Star?
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like for those pieces to happen? And I honestly think it would be interesting to see the Empire's perspective after the destruction of the first Death Star.
Yes.
Because that was something that was planned and iterated in the background. It was hidden from sight. They had lots of different plans to hide the materials acquisitions. They had all of these different people that knew only pieces of this whole effort, and then it gets destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
What does it look like for the Empire at that point to do something after that?
True.
How do they rally their troops after like 500,000 people die in
the morale
one instant?
Must be so low.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's true. The more you talk about this time and like those kind of settings and like what those stories, the more I think this isn't a story to be told on screen.
Really?
It feels more like a game to me. Like, okay. I think it would be a really good, like, nitty-gritty get into the behind the scenes, in the behind the scenes of like the bad guys of the Empire, and then also of like the rebellion. Like, have that those two kinds of views of like just the effort that goes into keeping these giant rebellion and Empire alive. You know, like, how do you keep this engine going?
How you're describing it is almost like a resource management game.
Hey, I'm here for it.
A canon resource management game. Okay, that's...
You need to be happy, and you need to be happy.
I think there are books. I'm pretty sure there's books that, like, expand into that time period. I think the Battlefront book, the first one, expanded in that time period. Obviously, Battlefront Inferno Squadrons from the Empire's perspective. There are books and stuff like that, but I would love to see it in, like you said, like a video game or a story-based video game or a TV series or even a movie at some point. I don't think that would actually be success. It'd be very difficult.
Yeah, it wouldn't be wise to make it a movie. But
it's like we're going back to the original trilogy, but we're not going to have any of the original characters there.
Yeah.
That's more of a TV show thing than it is a big budget movie thing.
Yeah.
But I would love to see stuff like that, or maybe animated, maybe like an animated Empire series from that perspective in that time, with a clear structure of like, we're going to have three seasons, it's going to be about this specific arc, and then after that, we're done.
Yep.
I think that could be very cool to see from that perspective. What does it look like for the Empire at this time to do that? What does it look like for them to rebuild their armies? What does it look like for the rebellion and them hunting down the rebellion? Because that's happening. Because at the introduction of the Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader has found them and goes himself to Hoth. So I think there's a lot to say there, and they could implement Darth Vader in this. I know there's been a lot of people wanting a Darth Vader series. That would be the perfect time frame to do something like that.
Ooh, okay. Here's another good game idea. The hunting down of the rebels.
Yeah.
From the Empire's perspective.
Oh, that'd be so good.
That would be so fun.
I would love that so much.
You're like, it's almost like a mystery, but also you get a lot of action because you're fighting everybody. And
there's a clear purpose. Mm-hmm. You feel bad about it because you know the rebellion's supposed to be the good guys and you're being a little naughty playing it from the bad guys' perspective. I would love that. I think there's a lot of opportunities for stories to be told in that time frame. I just think they're kind of scared to do anything there because of how closely people's nostalgia is tied to that era.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally don't blame them because I would be scared if they announced anything during that time period. But I think also on that same note, they could do something really fascinating there.
For sure.
But let us know your thoughts in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube, both around the Empire and the original trilogy era, as well as Star Wars Acolyte. What do you think about that specific piece of the controversy? Let us know in the comments below or contact uplinkpodcast.com. As always, you can listen to this podcast wherever you find podcasts. And thank you for listening. May the Force be with you.